Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. Big day here on the show. The Speaker of the North Carolina House of Representatives, Tim Moore, is going to be our guest. He is a great friend of the show. We've had him on often, and we're looking forward to talking with him here again today in just a couple of minutes. I guess front and center are a lot of things, and he has a limited time schedule today, so I'm going to have to pick and choose, but probably going to ask him about the House Bill 2 legislation, repeal legislation that has been filed. You know, there's like 4 bills that have been filed over there so far in the House, the latest of which is that by Representative Chuck McGrady, House Bill 186. We spoke yesterday, as you know, with Tammy Fitzgerald of the North Carolina Values Coalition. She's not real fond of that bill. Interestingly enough, North Carolina Equality NC, very hard leftist organization, they're not very fond of the bill either. So we'll ask Speaker Moore about that. And so we appreciate you being with us here on the show today. Thank you very much for taking time out to listen to the podcast. And we're also going to catch up with our good friend Tim Boyum after we talk with Speaker Moore and do our weekly legislative wrap-up. So without any further ado, thanks for listening, and let's talk to Speaker of the House, Representative Tim Moore. It's always a pleasure to welcome back to the show the Speaker of the North Carolina House of Representatives, Speaker Tim Moore. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Mark. How are you today?
Doing very well, enjoying this this lovely spring weather that's a little early. How about you?
Oh, it's absolutely perfect. I'm down in Kings Mountain in the western part of the state, and couldn't be a better day. The only bad thing is having to be inside an office right now.
Exactly. Well, I know you have a limited amount of time, so we'll get right to it. You guys have been in about a month now, several weeks. Give us the view from 30,000 feet from your position as the Speaker. How are you feeling about the way the session is progressing?
You know, I think we've gotten off to a great start. We have already seen that the progress we've made over these last few years has resulted in budget surpluses, and we've managed to cut taxes. That's resulted in actually more money coming in. The state's economy continues to prosper. More people are moving to North Carolina, and I mean, it's great news. And so it shows that the economic policies that have been implemented since Republicans took power are actually working. And so we're going to continue doing those things. So we, of course, the dynamics have now changed now that we have a Democratic governor as opposed to having a Republican governor. So we're going to have to work through that. But with having a supermajority, we feel confident that we'll end up seeing a conservative direction continue. But we also look forward to opportunities to work with Governor Cooper.
Well, I'm sure that those opportunities will continue to present themselves. He has come out with a proposal that raises teacher pay, I guess, 10% over 2 years, 5% this year. Your initial thoughts about that? It's kind of nice that the other side's getting on board with raising teacher pay for a change.
Well, it is. You know, when the Democrats were last in charge, they were doing furloughs, they were cutting pay, they were doing all these things. But it's always interesting how that's conveniently forgotten. But you know, we'll just have to look and see what we can afford to do, because we've made great progress in teacher pay, and so I don't know that we'll necessarily mirror what the governor is talking about doing. But you know, we've made a promise as to the pay raises that we're going to do, and so I would anticipate that we're going to continue to follow the path that we've set.
What are you anything that you've gotten wind of, or that you're expecting from his full budget proposal, whenever that really gets to begin to be debated over there in the General Assembly?
I have not gotten a heads up as to the governor's budget. I think we will receive it sometime this coming week. And certainly we will take a look at it and see what the governor's recommendations are, and we will look at those, and we will look for those areas where they are aligned with ours, and in those areas where there are differences, we will try to find ways to bridge those differences. You know, I think the voters want to see their elected officials try to work together. They really want to see us do that, and so we'll try to do that, and we'll come up with a good budget, just like we've done these last 6 years.
Speaker Moore, at last count, and I'm exaggerating, but I think there's 24 different bills to repeal House Bill 2. Actually, I think it's only four. A couple filed in the House, then Governor Cooper made a proposal, and then most recently Representative McGrady. Having a hard time keeping track of all of them, but we had Tammy Fitzgerald from the North Carolina Values Coalition yesterday, who is not real thrilled with Representative McGrady's House Bill 186. And also, interestingly enough, Equality NC is not all favorable toward it. So it's interesting that these two organizations are both not really thrilled with that. Have you decided whether or not or how you're going to approach any of these bills? Do you think there's a chance that House Bill 186 would pass, or you haven't decided yet what your thoughts on this?
You know, there's only really one serious bill that I've seen, one serious proposal out there to address House Bill 2, and that is Representative McGrady's bill. It is interesting that House Bill 186 is being attacked on the right and on the left, which tells me that it's probably a compromise. And so I know that Representative McGrady has been working for quite a while with a number of folks in the business community to try to come up with a solution. When my input was sought, what I've told anybody who's ever talked to me, anybody who's ever reached out to me, who's wanted to do anything about House Bill 2, I've made it very clear a couple of things. This was last year. But number one, the House would not do anything at any point until and unless the Charlotte City Council rescinded that absolutely ridiculous local ordinance that they passed that started all of this mess in the beginning. And if you think about it, what got this started, what really got this whole thing inflamed, was last year when the Charlotte City Council passed this resolution, you know, about bathrooms,
right,
where, you know, grown men could go in bathrooms where women and children, you know, could be there. It just made no sense. And everybody's like, what's going on? So what we did with House Bill 2, we passed that in response to that. You know, the state's been around over 200 years without House Bill 2.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because people knew where to go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
Nobody had to tell them. You learned that in kindergarten. But for some reason, the Charlotte City Council mayor felt like they needed to go try to upend the rules with this ordinance. Well, so you know what? The City Council finally saw the light. They finally repealed it. Once that happened, I think at that time it's appropriate to take a look and say, okay, maybe we don't necessarily need this. But what you can't do is just do an outright repeal, because what we've been told and what we've seen is that there's other cities out here that'll turn around and go do the same stuff again.
Exactly.
I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. It's stupid, but they'll do it. So what Representative McGrady's bill does, as I understand, is that it says you can't do that. Cities can't go out and pass ordinances to do anything about bathrooms. That is a matter of state law when it comes to multi-occupancy facilities. So you know what? That takes the bathroom issue. It resolves it, gets it done, gets it off the plate. And that seems to take care of that issue. When it comes to these non-discrimination issues, what it does is it says the cities want to try to extend these protections. I think basically the state adopts what's the national standard, which applies anyway. And it says if cities want to go in and look at doing something different in their cities, it's pretty narrow. They can't apply it to religious or charitable organizations. It's a limited scope. They can't apply it outside their city limits, can't use their contracting power. And if they decide to do it, they got to give 30 days notice. And then if 10% of the people, whatever the number of people who voted in whatever the last election is, if 10% of that number of people, which is frankly a pretty low threshold, sign a petition asking for a public referendum, then there's a public referendum on it. So the people of that town or that city will vote on that issue. And guess what? Those voters will decide that issue, and they'll also decide the fate of those elected officials who wanted to go down that road. So, you know, that seems fair to me. But, you know, I want to go through the process, see what our members have to say about it. But my initial blush with it, the reaction that I'm getting from folks who aren't just solidly wed to these issues, you know, either on the far left or far right, are kind of like, maybe this is a reasonable compromise. But, you know, we'll just have to work through the process. But I will tell you what I'm hearing from a number of organizations, both within and without the state, that are not political. I'm hearing from, like, you know, the realtors. I'm hearing from the state chamber, the Charlotte chamber, the manufacturers, just a number of the business organizations who are saying, hey, this is a great compromise bill. And so I guess the fact, Mark, to your point that you started with, the fact that you've got, great organization, the Family Values Coalition, I think a lot of wonderful organization, that they don't like it. And then certainly the Equality NC, which is way hard left and certainly no ally of mine, and they're attacking it. When you've got a situation where you've got folks who are on the right and the left who are attacking it, maybe it's a compromise.
Well, I'm certain that it will, if it does make it to committee and is heard, I'm sure the debate will be vigorous. I'm looking at the clock. I did want to ask you one last question. We had Senator Kravick on a few days ago, and she said that over there in the Senate, they're not even thinking about HB2 anymore, and we've decided to just move on. Now, I don't know if she's speaking for Senator Berger or not, but is there a point, Speaker Moore, where, you know, if this House Bill 186 doesn't, you know, progress, that you just got to say, hey, look, there are other things, you know, the state's economic situation, the business climate, and just move on from this thing?
Well, I'll say this. There are, in my opinion, many more important issues to deal with.
Yeah.
I've felt from the beginning that this entire issue has been more about politics than policy all along, at least
Absolutely.
In terms of the way the left has portrayed it.
Yep.
I mean, if you believe the narrative that was talked about during the governor's race and that's been talked about in the media, you'd think that the state is crumbling because of House Bill 2. Well, the facts simply don't support that. Our economy is growing.
Yeah.
Our economy has never been stronger. Our population has never been larger. People are moving to this state in record numbers. Our rural areas are not growing as much as we'd like to see in some areas, but our urban areas are absolutely busting at the seams. When we do our next census, we're gonna show huge population growth. We're gonna pick up one, maybe even two congressional seats. I mean, we're growing well. I mentioned earlier in the segment how we now have a budget surplus. Unemployment is at a record low. I mean, more people are working today, Mark, in North Carolina than at any point in our state's history.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't, you know, it. So the narrative that it is that you know this is killing our economy simply isn't true. Now, has it affected our tourism industry? Yes, it has. Have there been a handful of companies who said that they're not going to come to North Carolina because of this bill? Yes, there have. Now, was it really the reason? You don't know. I mean, it's a convenient excuse somebody could try to use to say that, but there are a myriad of reasons.
Yeah.
A myriad of reasons of why a company will or will not locate in a state. And so, you know, you kind of got to take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But when it comes to issues, there are clearly much more important issues to deal with. And I think that's why you see, in all fairness, the media talks about this issue a whole lot. But when we're in the General Assembly with the actions that we're doing, the bills that we're considering, it's a very small part of the bandwidth.
Yeah.
You know, and when I'm talking with my voters back home, they want to know, what are you doing about schools? What are you doing about, you know, roads? What are you doing about improving the economy, bringing jobs to the state, you know, working on cutting unnecessary regulations? Those are the things we've been doing. Those are the things we're going to continue to do.
Well, you've done an excellent job at that, Speaker Moore, as far as I am concerned, and I appreciate all the hard work that you do for our state. In 10 seconds, I got to tell you this. John Paulson, who is one of President Trump's economic advisors in his campaign, said, the president can usher in a new era of American prosperity by establishing a globally competitive corporate tax rate and reducing excessive regulation. It sounds like you guys were a little bit ahead of the game, because that's what you have done here in the General Assembly, is the advice that our president is getting And it's worked in North Carolina, and I'm sure it'll work in our country too. So
what you know what I look forward to hearing, perhaps, Mark, at the State of the Union, is that the United States is going to follow the North Carolina model.
Absolutely, that would be a great thing. And it's always a great thing to have you on the show, sir. Thank you for your time, and I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll look forward to having you on again soon.
Good to be with you. Take care.
Yes, sir. You too. Thank you. Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. Big day here on the show. The Speaker of the North Carolina House of Representatives, Tim Moore, is going to be our guest. He is a great friend of the show. We've had him on often, and we're looking forward to talking with him here again today in just a couple of minutes. I guess front and center are a lot of things, and he has a limited time schedule today, so I'm going to have to pick and choose, but probably going to ask him about the House Bill 2 legislation, repeal legislation that has been filed. You know, there's like 4 bills that have been filed over there so far in the House, the latest of which is that by Representative Chuck McGrady, House Bill 186. We spoke yesterday, as you know, with Tammy Fitzgerald of the North Carolina Values Coalition. She's not real fond of that bill. Interestingly enough, North Carolina Equality NC, very hard leftist organization, they're not very fond of the bill either. So we'll ask Speaker Moore about that. And so we appreciate you being with us here on the show today. Thank you very, very much for taking time out to listen to the podcast. And we're also going to catch up with our good friend Tim Boyum after we talk with Speaker Moore and do our weekly legislative wrap-up. So without any further ado, thanks for listening, and let's talk to Speaker of the House, Representative Tim Moore. It's Friday, and that means it's Tim Boyum time here on What Matters in North Carolina, time for our weekly look at all the goings-on, or at least some of them anyway, at the North Carolina General Assembly. Tim, how you doing?
I'm great, thank you. Enjoying this beautiful spring weather.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I know the some of the Bradford pear trees here in Raleigh and things like daffodils have already begun to bloom about a month early, so I hope there's not a sudden freeze that kind of, you know, has a negative impact on that stuff. But it's looking good right now.
Yeah, and oddly enough, this is very, very newsy, but the strawberry farmers are actually concerned/excited because of the same thing. We may have to start eating strawberries earlier, and hope not for a big freeze like you mentioned.
Well, I could eat them year-round. Unfortunately, they're not available around here year-round, but good stuff. So you've been busy this week, I'm sure. What have you been focusing on mostly?
Boy, it's hard to focus mostly on anything because there is so much going on. We've had so many developments with HB2, whether it's this alleged or attempted compromise bill that came out from some of the more moderate members of both parties. And then, of course, you know, the president's reversal of opinion from the DOJ on transgender and Title IX when it comes to using the bathroom at schools for transgender individuals.
Right.
There's the high drama of getting cabinet members for Roy Cooper confirmed and Larry Hall, one of the nominees, not showing up again, and then a subpoena being issued for next week. You know, and then, of course, all the stuff going on up in Washington as well. It's hard to focus on any one thing. It's hard to keep track of it all. But, you know, it's we can't complain because this is why we do what we do, and there's plenty to talk about.
Exactly. Well, you mentioned something extremely curious, and before we talk about the HB2 alleged compromise bill, as you put it, this whole thing with Larry Hall has turned into quite this circus almost. And if you really pay attention to what everybody's saying on both sides, it's not clear that either side really has a how can I put this? It knows what they're doing, or I mean, it just comes off as, you know, I guess we're trying to figure this thing out as we go. Do you get that impression?
Well, what's ironic, yes. And the reason that is we've never really done this before. Yes, this is in the Constitution, and that's how Republicans interpret it. But we've never really gone through this before. I mean, we've had confirmations of other positions, but not to this extent, and they've not been nearly political, obviously. So we are sort of going through this, and things are vague in the Constitution and the statute which leads to these battles, and more importantly, interpretation. And clearly, both sides are interpreting it in their manner, so it helps their legal case as well. What's ironic about this at the end of the day is all of Ray Cooper's appointees are likely going to be confirmed, or would be if it wasn't for this issue.
Yeah.
And so a lot of this is they're going through the process, I think, to set precedent for the future, both positive and potentially negative, so that they know what they're doing moving forward. I think we'll see more clarity in the law after this is all processed. It's a convoluted mess in a lot of ways. But that's the way the legal system works sometimes, and we'll just have to see moving forward. But it sure kind of come across that way.
So politically, Tim, who's getting the upper hand here? Is it the Senate, or is it Governor Cooper?
I don't know if anyone's winning in this. And there's definitely a loser, and right now that's Larry Hall. I mean, he's being put in the spotlight here, and he just wants to do his job and took this and thought he would. But I don't know. The other thing is there's so much going on politically that I don't know if your average Joe citizen's paying attention to this. It's the political class and the media that's paying all big attention to it. But yeah. I'm not so sure anyone's going to get a huge win or loss out of this, especially if at the end of the day they hold these hearings. They rake them through the coals a little bit potentially, but then approve them all or confirm them. So, I don't know if there's winners and losers right now. I don't. The debate is interesting to say the least. I think it's the meaning of submit.
Yeah.
Has Cooper submitted his names to the legislature or the Senate specifically, or has he not? And I think that's the major disagreement right now at the moment. Ironically, this could all be resolved in the court system in a few weeks too. So, as we said, it's just a mess.
Yeah. Well, and of course. On the other side, you go to the website. It's got Larry Hall as the head guy over there in that military affairs department. He's taken an oath of office. He's getting paid. So, the Senate saying, all of these things together. He has been appointed, and yet the governor saying, "Well, I haven't submitted his name yet." So, boy, it reminds me.
And you know what? The answer here is they might both be right. I mean, Senator Burr makes a great point. They're in place. They're clearly his nominees. But, the court ruling and also the process, Ray Cooper could say, look, they're interim until they get confirmed. And so they're allowed to have interim people in.
Yeah.
And, the legal world is different than the practical world. And, if the legal world is that he needs to send a document with specific names saying these are my nominees, Governor Cooper might have a point. This is the challenge of, what is sort of what appears to be common sense and what is legal. And the legal world needs legal things. And, sometimes the reality of it gets caught up in the process. And I think that's a lot of where we are.
Yeah. Our guest is Tim Boyum, excellent anchor for Capital Tonight on the Time Warner Cable News Channel. Now, Tim, there's... I think 7,500 bills that have been filed repealing House Bill 2. Maybe that's an exaggeration. I think there's four. Actually, four.
Feels like it sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. But the most recent was this week with Representative Chuck McGrady attempting, as it appears, to reach some sort of compromise. I had the opportunity to speak with Tammy Fitzgerald yesterday of the Values Coalition. Of course, she does not favor this bill. Oddly enough, the folks from Equality NC do not favor this bill. And so you have two groups representing opposite sides of the spectrum, both not very fond of House Bill 186. So where does that leave us? What do you think of this bill and its chances?
Maybe that's the sign of a good compromise when both sides are angry. We always say that in journalism. As long as I have the left and right mad at me, I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job.
Exactly.
The reaction, frankly, was the same on Governor Cooper's proposal. The Republican leadership said it's basically a non-starter, and the HRC and Equality NC didn't like Governor Cooper's proposal either. Look, no matter what happens on this, there's going to be people that are upset. I don't think this would have the votes to get through the Senate, even if it did get through the House.
Right.
Because I think those sides are deep, so I'm not so sure it matters. I just don't know what could get through the legislature at this point, unless some external decision or external factor, you know, sort of force people to change their minds just to get it off the table. I just don't know what could get through both chambers at this point based on what has happened in December and then following in January and February. And so, you know, these are great attempts, you know, and that is a moderate plan you could consider because they are moderate lawmakers of both sides that have proposed this latest House bill. But I don't see movement in enough of the legislature to push forward that bill, Governor Cooper's idea and bill that was put forward as well. And I don't know what's going to make it happen at this point. I'm really perplexed based on what I know, what people have said. I think there are Republicans in the Senate in particular that were willing to put aside what they thought was right, which was HB2, for the better of the state, at least that they were being told.
Right.
So they went along with that deal in December. It fell apart for a multitude of reasons, which we've gone through in depth. And now that that went through, they don't trust anything in the process anymore, and they're sticking to their guns.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what it is that would change folks like that mind anymore on this issue.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And that was an excellent point that you made, because the House tends to be a little bit more moderate, I guess, in part because there's so many of them over there compared to the Senate. But I don't see this getting through the Senate at all. And I think that was a good point that you made, that it might have a tougher time there. In fact, when we spoke with Senator Joyce Kravic last week, she said, look, you know, we've moved on. You know, we're working on, making the state's economic environment better and moving the state forward. We're not even thinking about House Bill 2. So I thought that was an interesting
position.
Well, and
also, don't forget, you know, the Trump administration, the DOJ basically reversed course on President Obama's stance on,
that's right,
on Title IX and transgender individuals in schools and their rights or options to use the bathroom of their choice. And I think there are some that believe that this really undercuts the argument against HB2 and to move that forward, even if it's just politically. And so I think that can't be overlooked in this process as well as we move forward, at least to a delay factor. Now, will there be massive pushback if the NCAA comes out in a few weeks and says, all right, you have 1 week to do this, and otherwise we're removing them all? I mean, maybe. I mean, you can never put anything past about what the possibilities are.
Yeah.
But it just does not seem like anything is even remotely imminent.
Yeah. So in terms of the process that's been going on with the confirmation and with this HB2 type bills, there really have begun to be a lot of other bills not related to that sort of stuff that have been filed. Is there anything that's sticking out in your mind as particularly newsworthy or interesting?
I mean, there's a lot of things that are interesting. These constitutional amendments, you know, to cap the income tax in the Constitution, you know, the one about the concealed permit is interesting. Of course, the ones, you know, about basically taking out the premise to allow North Carolina to, you know, break away from the union. You know, those are always interesting. What's hard about this time of year is interesting and the ability to move forward are two very different things at the legislature.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to read in some ways. And the actual act of legislating has been incredibly slow. Governor Cooper has one bill on his desk right now, and that's the one that would shrink the Board of Governors from 32 to 24, which I think he will sign. There's not a major amount of pushback. There's some concern, but not a major amount of pushback. And then there's that, you know, the debate over class size.
Yeah.
And some of the ramifications that might have come from that with funding and the ability to have, music and PE teachers in some schools. But that seems to have been stalled as well. I think there's a question about what the Senate wants to do with that. But other than that, there's been little movement on issues. And so, these other larger, shinier objects are really taking the spotlight. And I don't think they're slowing down the other legislation. You have to believe that there's still some sort of discussions going on about how much and what they want to do this session, which is sort of frankly fascinating. But I also do think it can't be underestimated. You know, there's a new governor. They're trying to feel each other out. And there's a lot of new leadership at the legislature, in the House in particular, but also the Senate and some of the important committees like finance and the new rules chair. And so I think there's a lot of just trying to figure out what they're going to do. It makes me a little nervous to how fast they're probably going to actually move when they start moving fast. But you know, there's a lot of different factors going on, but it's definitely a slow start.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, finally, Tim, and we certainly appreciate your time today, but a freshwoman, I guess, Representative Beverly Boswell, she made some headlines prior to the beginning of the session where she listed a litany of things that she wanted to see happen in the General Assembly. And maybe it was perhaps to, you know, lack of familiarity with the differences between bodies, but the things that she listed sounded more congressional, as it were, than state level stuff. But, you know, repealing Obamacare and that sort of thing. But interestingly enough, she has filed a bill, the Enact Right to Life at Conception Act, and she is the primary sponsor of that bill. And I don't want to ask you about the bill so much as I want to ask you about, do you think this is something that she did on her own, or do you think leadership has picked a freshman female to run what may be, well, what will be a controversial piece of legislation? And the reason I ask that is because if you remember 2 years ago, Representative Schaefer, she got, you know, she got all the bills that were controversial. The abortion.
She's no longer there, by the way.
And the, yeah, exactly. And the guns. And so your thoughts here.
Well, you know, and what you're speaking to does happen. I'll tell you a real quick funny story. I remember I did a story on a bill. And I went to the bill sponsor and asked him if he could talk about it. He said he didn't want to because he wasn't sure enough on it, because he was basically handed the bill to run by leadership, and he didn't have a strong knowledge of it. So that does happen. And I'm not saying that whether that was Republican or Democrats, because I guarantee this happens across the board. So that does happen, and on a regular basis. It wouldn't surprise me, particularly because she is a freshman, that she would want to file this, that, you know, this is something she strongly believes in. There's no question that this would be an incredibly controversial bill. It would go straight to the court system if it was approved.
Right.
I'm not so sure that this is something that leadership wants to push through. I'm not so sure it's something they think that could get through, or even that they necessarily wanted to go through. So, you know, I could, but it's possible, yes. But there are a lot of freshmen that, you know, come in with their ideals and what they want to do and what they said they were going to do in a campaign. So it would not surprise me as she filed it on her own. Just my gut tells me I don't think that bill is going to go anywhere. So that would tell me it probably is more her than you know, the larger caucus. But it's always possible.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Tim Boyum, you're always excellent. We always look forward to our Friday conversation. And I hope you have a great weekend. Continue to enjoy the weather. And we'll look forward to talking to you again next week on What Matters in North Carolina.
All right, you have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, always good to talk with Tim Boyum on Fridays with our weekly legislative wrap-up. And if you think the General Assembly has gotten off to a slow start, I think we're going to see the fireworks really, really happen soon. And particularly, like, if this bill that has been filed about life starting at conception, that'll be hotly debated. The House Bill 2, House Bill 186, that will be hotly debated. And so if you have been thinking that things are taking a while to get moving, it's moving now, and it's going to get a lot more momentum and move a lot faster, and it's going to get crazy down at the General Assembly real soon. When I worked there, I used to call it the circus because, man, it would just be so wide open for, like, you know, 3.5 days in the week, and then, boom, everybody left. You know, they go home on Thursdays, and so Fridays it was like a ghost town around there, and you could catch up and kind of catch your breath. But, you know, when they're in session, it is wide open all the time, particularly if you work there. And so if you have been waiting, it's about to get good down there, trust me. Anyway, we have really enjoyed our week and have had some really compelling conversations. I really enjoyed talking with Tammy Fitzgerald yesterday of the North Carolina Values Coalition, Jenna Robinson from the Martin Center for Academic Renewal, and of course Speaker Tim Moore today. And well, do you remember, this seems like a long time ago, but Monday we were talking with Representative Steinberg and about the Amazon wind farm. And so if you missed any of our conversations this week, feel free to check out freedomactionnetwork.com, or you can always find us in the iTunes and Google Play stores. Any of the shows that you may have missed and you'd like to catch up on, you can find us there as well. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy this nice weather, and we'll look forward to talking with you again on Monday here on What Matters in North Carolina.